Hallelujah. Today's scripture reading is 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1 to 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, 1 to 13. The title is, Now abide faith, hope, love, these three, but the greatest of this is love, part 1. Now abide faith, hope, love, these three, but the greatest of this is love, part 1. I'd like to read for you the 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1 to 13. If I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but do not have love, I have become a noisy going or a clanging cymbal. And if I have the gift of the prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove the mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. And if I give all my possession to feed the poor, and if I deliver my body to be burnt, but do not have love, it profit me nothing. Love is patience. Love is kind and is not jealous. Love does not brag and is not arrogant. Does not act unbecomingly. It does not seek its own. It is not provoked, does not take into account a wrong suffers, does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails, but if there are gifts of prophecy, they will be done away. If there are tongues, they will cease. If there is knowledge, it will be done away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when the perfect comes, the partial will be done away. When I was a child, I used to speak as a child, think as a child, reason as a child. When I become a man, I did away with childish things. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face, now I know in part, but then I shall know fully, just as I also have been fully known. But now abide faith, hope, love, these three, but the greatest of this is love. This is the word of God. Today is a passage that is often called the love chapters, and it is perhaps the most beloved passage, so beloved that even unbelievers can recite it. Pastors especially love quoting it for wedding ceremony because of its theme, a theme of love, and is frequently cited for events like the wedding at Cana, where Jesus was present. However, the truth is many people misinterpret this verse because they don't understand the background and the purpose behind them, which has little to do with the wedding ceremonies. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 is a word of Apostle Paul rebuked the Corinthian believers. They had received a gift from the God's grace, but they boast about this gift, comparing them to each other and arguing whose gift was superior. They thought, my gift is better than yours, or I'm better than you. This caused the church to be divided and sick with pride. Paul set the standard for the correct view of spiritual gift and love. 1 Corinthians is chapter 12, verse 8 to 10, the list of 9 gifts. Today's passage also speaks of gift, tongue, prophecy, knowledge, faith, giving, martyrdom, that is, a gift graciously given by God. However, these gifts are not for personal gain, but merely tools to build up the church and the world. They are not the purpose. Rather, the Apostle Paul is teaching the principle by which each believer should use the gift they have received. Let's look at the 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 2 to 3. I'd like to read for you. And if I have the gift of prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove the mountains but do not have love, I am nothing. And if I give all my possession to feed the poor, and if I deliver my body to be burned but do not have love, it profit me nothing. Paul states these two times is emphatically without God's love as the foundation of all gifts, those gifts are nothing, offering no benefit or use whatsoever for our salvations. In fact, the Corinthians were excessively boasting and showing off their gift, causing their brothers to stumble and even divide the church, the body of Christ. Therefore, the apostle Paul sought to correct their flawed faith by teaching them that they only things the code set them could set them right was love, the very character of God. According to the 1 John chapter 4, verse 20, Scripture talked to us. If someone says, I love God and hate, hate his brother, he is a liar. And for the one who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. That is, we must understand the love properly and set our heart on possessing true love. Just as Jesus loved us, we too must become those who love one another. Only then we be recognized as possessing God's character and being fit for the kingdom of God. According to the 1 John chapter 4, verse 11, the scripture says, Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Then, what is God's love? The Apostle Paul tells us as follows, today's scripture, the 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4 to 7. It speaks of the 15 things in total. 7 are love is this, and 8 are love is not that, making 15 points. This content is precisely the character of Jesus himself. First, if we are to love, what must we do? Let us examine the 7 things first. The first is patience. Is a makro due. The Greek is a makro due. It means to endure and accept. To be patient, one must first restrain their own emotions. Furthermore, it means not using the power to retire it even when wronged. Long suffering. Patience is a part of God's character. Even though we have betrayed him and commit sin, he does not judge us immediately. Instead, he patiently watches over us, giving us opportunity to repent, waiting for our transformation and loving us steadfastly to the very end. According to the 2 Peter 3, chapter 15, chapter 3, verse 15, and regard the patience of our Lord to be salvation. Amen. The Apostle Paul confessed that he could become an apostle solely because of Jesus' long sufferings. He confessed at the 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 16, is like that. And yet for this reason I found mercy in order that in me as the foremost Jesus Christ might demonstrate his perfect patience as an example for those who would believe him for eternal life. By saving someone who considered himself the greatest of sinners, the foremost among sinners, who persecuted the church and took the lead in the killing of Stephen, Jesus demonstrated his great patience. Through this, he proved that there is no sinner in this world who is beyond salvation. Amen. This long suffering, patience, is one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit. You can find that in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. It is also a virtue that the believers who have received grace must possess. You can find that in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 6, and Ephesians chapter 4, 2. Scriptures teach that we must take as our example the patience of the Apostle Paul himself and the long-suffering of the prophet and the spiritual forefathers who have gone before us. You can find that in 2 Timothy chapter 3, 10 and James chapter 5, 10. Amen. The second, the virtue of love we must practice is kind. This is the Greek word is krestuetai, means the kind and gentle. It implies not merely enduring those who harm us and sin against us, but going further to serve them with goodwill. Jesus was able to do this because of God's mercy, which willingly accepted us sinners to the very end, even though he himself was despised and rejected by the world. Let's look at the Matthew chapter 11, verse 29. Jesus talked to us, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart." Had Moses not possessed the Lord's kindness, he could not have borne the burden of all the sins and unbelief of the Israelites and led them into the land of Canaan. You can find that in Numbers chapter 12, verse 3. The scriptures tell us that we too must possess the gentleness to inherit the kingdom of heavens. According to the Matthew chapter 5, verse 5, the Jesus talk to us, "Blessed are the gentle, for they shall inherit the earth." Amen. Third, rejoice with truth. Rejoice with truth. The expression in the 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 6, the expression is opposite to unrighteousness. I let it read for you. "Does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoice with the truth." The expression opposite to unrighteousness in the earlier part of the same verse is truth. The opposite of the unrighteous would be righteousness, but the Apostle Paul used truth because unrighteousness came when people did not love or rejoice in the truth, the word of God the Father. Thus, rebelling against God's word, falling into corruption and severing their relationship with God. Fundamentally, the only way to resolve the unrighteousness is to live rejoicing in and obeying the word, which is why we are told to rejoice in the truth. And Jesus talked at John chapter 8, verse 32, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." From where? From what? The sin, the death, and all sinfulness. Okay? "For where truth rejoices, injustice cannot arise." According to the John chapter 3, verse 21, Jesus said, "But he who practices the truth comes to the light, that his deed may be manifested as having been loved in God." Amen. Even in the last days, God seeks those who seek truth, and through them, the praise of destruction can be transformed into a praise of hope for life. Amen. According to the Jeremiah chapter 5, verse 1, God talked to Jeremiah, if you can find a man, if there is one who does justice, who seeks truth, then I will pardon her. The her is the Jerusalem, okay? Today, in the name of the Lord, I pray that because of us who love the Father's word, a way of life may unfold. The word must become our joy and delight. Amen? So is Jeremiah is confessed like that from the Jeremiah chapter 15, verse 16. Thy word became for me a joy and a delight of my heart. Amen. The first, we must bear all things. Verse 7, to bear. The Greek is stegei. Stegei means to persist, to cover. This calls us to act like a roof, shielding with love against the storms and the tempest. The Apostle Paul used this word when he voluntarily restricts his right and cramps so that nothing would hinder the preaching of the gospel. According to the 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 12, the Apostle Paul talked to us, if others share the right over you, do we not more? Nevertheless, we did not use this right, but we endure all things, that we may cause no hindrance to the gospel of Christ. It means not exposing other fault, but covering their sins with love, becoming a roof over them, waiting patiently until they come to their sense and stop committing the same sins. So, according to the 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 8, the Apostle Peter talked to us too. Above all, keep fervent in your love for one another, because love covers a multitude of sins. And the Proverbs chapter 17, verse 9, the scripture said, he who covers a transgression seeks love. Amen. Even as Jesus endured the agony of the cross and the scorn and the contempt, he prayed to God the Father, asking for forgiveness for their sin because of his love for them. According to the Luke chapter 23, verse 34, Jesus talked like this. But Jesus was saying, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. Amen. The fifth is that believing everything is love. Believing everything is love. Here, the believing is Greek, is pistuei. Pistuei, meaning to trust, to rely on. This refers to continuing to trust actively without doubting, no matter the circumstance. That is love, first believed in God as its object and content, trusting in all of God's plans of salvation and promise. So the Apostle Paul is talked like that in the Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. For I am confident of these very things, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. Amen. Even though we stumble, doubt, and fail, Jesus never abandoned his disciples. He believed in them to the very end. He came to them where their faith faltered, where doubt took root, and he believed in them and held them fast until the end. Let's look at the John chapter 13, verse 1. Now, before the feast of the Passover, Jesus, knowing that his hour had come, that he should depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. Amen. He loved them to the end. I give you another one. John chapter 17, verse 20. I do not ask in behalf of this alone, but for those also who believed in me through their words. They talk about us. Amen. Love means believing in the others, the potential and the restoration to the very end, rather than abandoning trust through doubt. God does not see us as we are now, but as we are becoming, maturing in Christ and growing in his likeness. God's faithful love overcame our human weakness. This is not based solely on believing in human potential, but on the faithful love of Jesus who loved us and saved us to the end. Therefore, while we are still sinners, he demonstrated his love for us by dying in our place. Let's look at the Romans chapter 5, verse 8. But God demonstrated his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Amen. The sixth is that love, hope, or sin. The sixth is that the love holds or sins. Here the word hope is come from the Greek is LPJ, which refers to a state of continually and persistently hoping. The ability to rejoice and endure in any circumstance comes not from the expectations that things might occasionally improve, but from the certainty that God knows me and will bring me to completion in his salvation to the very end. Amen. Therefore, it is love that enables us to preserve without growing weary, for it is not a hope that is cut off in any tribulation, but a hope that is eternally alive. Amen. Let's look at according to the Romans chapter 8, verse 24 to 25. I'd like to read for you. For in hope we have been saved, but hope that is seen is not hope, for why does one also hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, with the perseverance, we wait eagerly for it. Amen. This is because we have a living hope in Jesus. Let's go to the 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. The scripture says, blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope, through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Because we have this living hope, we live on earth embracing the hope of glory, for we have a sure promise of sharing in God's glory, which will be revealed at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's not entering the kingdom of God, hoping for the praise, glory, and honor he will bestow upon us, the sum total of what we hope for on this earth. Let's look at the Philippians chapter 3, verse 20 to 21. The scripture said, for our citizenship is in heaven, from which also we eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform the body of our humble state into conformity with the body of his glory by the exertion of the power that he has even to subject all things to himself. Right? I give you another one. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 16. They desire better countries, that is a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. That is the heavenly Jerusalem. That is the kingdom of God. Finally, the seventh is that the love endures all things. Love endures all things. Here, endures is Greek, is the hypomene. Is meaning to remain steadfast under a heavy burden, not fleeing or abandoning it. It primarily signifies overcoming adversity and preserving in faith. That is, love can endure without collapsing, even in the face of any hardship, frustration, despair, or the final great tribulations. Therefore, we must not live in fear and double, but which with boldness through the faith in Jesus' resurrection, who conquered the world and the power of death. Amen. Jesus endured the cross because he saw through himself the fulfillment of the Father's redemptive plan, the way of salvation for all who believed in him, and the joy of making them children of God. Let's look at the Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before his endured the cross, despised the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. If we endure to the end following the Lord, we will obtain salvation. Amen. So Jesus talked to us in the Matthew chapter 24, verse 13, but the one who endures to the end, he shall be saved. Amen. And receive the crown of life. In the James chapter 1, 12 is talked about that. He will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Amen. Beloved saints, we have heard countless times about God's love. How concretely did we understand it? Now the very essence of that love is Jesus himself. And it is the things that Jesus personally shown us on this earth. Now it is for us to follow in Jesus' footsteps and live out what we must do. It is no longer vague love, but through today's world, we clearly understand what the love we received from Jesus truly is. Living out each aspect of the love in our own lives, practicing love is what truly makes us sons of the fathers and shows evidence that we love God. May each of us engrave this word in our heart. Love is patient, love is kind, rejoice with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. May we all live out this character on earth as those who will enter God's kingdom. Amen. Next time, we will continue to testify about the 8 things we must not do if we truly receive God's love. Amen. Let's pray together. Thank you for loving us today and for allowing us to hear the Father's voice of love toward us. We are grateful that through today's message, we have come to understand how Father God specifically love us, and that all these words are demonstrated to us in the life of Jesus. Through today's message, we have seen that the true form of the Father's love. As sons of God, may we all become those who love everyone within the church with the Father's love. May our lives be such that by being patient and gentle, rejoicing with the truth, bearing all things, believing all things, hope all things, and enduring all things, we may ultimately practice the Father's love and prove that we have become children of the Father. You said that those who hear the word but do not act upon it are like a man who built his house upon sand. May precious things happen among us, that our faith may be strengthened and make complete by the Father's love. For all these things we pray and asking in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.